How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Phillies Today podcast. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson, coming to you on this Tuesday, June 20, 2023. Recapping, I mean, what a road trip for the Philadelphia Phillies. 5-1, the Phillies go out to the West Coast. They take 6-1, I should say, trying to slight the Phils. They win 3-4 from the Arizona Diamondbacks, sweep an absolute joke of a franchise in the Oakland A's. I can't believe I was afraid of, you know, that team having any destiny at all. Like, they had won 7 straight, and they had a reverse protest, and it was an electric night at the Oakland Coliseum last week, and they just reverted right back to being an atrocious franchise the second the Phillies got on the field with them. The Phillies tore them apart. They tore the Arizona Diamondbacks apart. They got the tiebreaker now with Arizona, should it come to that, which in a clustered National League wild card scenario at the end of the season with no game 163 anymore, that could be huge. Piling up wins with whoever's in front of you on the schedule. The Phillies, I remember not too long ago, used to lose to bad teams. And it wasn't too long ago, just this season in April and May, when it seemed like bad teams would get in the Phillies' way. And we were praying that the Phillies just could not get back to 500 because it, no matter what, they would get within a game and they would lose. And the Phillies would get within a game of 500 again and they would lose. And then one more time, within a game of 500, they would lose yet again. Phillies are 4 games above 500. I'm not pretending like that's some sort of massive accomplishment or that is some, you know, something to write home about, or there should be a parade, or this team is not built for expectations greater than that. And certainly they got a couple of big series coming up this week with the Braves and the Mets, and those will be, you know, more so tests, because the Phillies, last time they stepped on the field with the Mets, got swept up at Citi Field. Now the trajectory of those two teams have gone in entirely opposite since, which is, it's always great to see when the New York Mets just fall flat on their face. But you got to beat them on the field when they're in front of you. And this time it'll be in front of the home crowd. But that's getting ahead of myself already. That's coming up this weekend. The series in front of the Phillies right now is the Atlanta Braves, a team who they beat in the playoffs last season. But when push comes to shove in the regular season, typically the home team gets the better end of that series. It'll be the second series the Phillies have played the Braves all season. We'll preview that series in just a little bit, but it's critical that the Phillies don't lose the momentum they have going here. They don't lose the steam they have going here, because the Phillies have got something special in the month of June. Kyle Schwarber especially, I think we can all agree, has something special in the month of June. We'll get to him up in just a little bit. But all in all, I wanted to start with the biggest reason why this Phillies team has turned it around the way that they have. I do not believe it's Kyle Schwarber. Although he has certainly been unbelievable. He has been unbelievable at the top of that lineup, and he has been a real tone setter, and we all know how good he is in the month of June. I would even say it's the bats in general. I would not say that he, you know, it's the offense, although that certainly needed to kick it into high gear. I wouldn't say it's the bullpen. It's been the starting pitching. The biggest disappointment with this team through the first 2 months of the season, in my opinion, was that the starting pitching was not at a level that it needed to be. We had not seen the best out of Zach Wheeler for the first 2 months of the season. We didn't have a healthy Ranger Suarez in front of our eyes. We did not have Taijuan Walker, who looked even remotely serviceable, and that contract looked like a disaster. I still don't think we have the Aaron Nola that is anywhere close to his full potential, but, you know, some starts are good, some starts are bad. You almost take the good with the bad with him at this point. And the Phillies, obviously, in the fifth starter spot, in the fifth spot in the rotation, have been a disaster all season. We'll get to that in a little bit. But just a little bit, you know, to update everyone. And this is courtesy, I saw Corey Seidman from NBC Sports Philadelphia put this out earlier on Monday, I believe it was, tweeting out all the records for the various spots in the rotation for the Phillies so far this season. The Phillies, in order, I'll go from worst to best, because the order and of the Phillies' record in respective starter spots in the rotation, it may surprise you. It surprised me a little bit, to be honest. Aaron Nola, unsurprisingly, the worst. I'm going to work with the top four. Again, Wheeler, Suarez, Walker, Nola, in no particular order. I'm going to start with Nola. Phillies 7-8 in his starts so far this season. Again, disappointing. He has been anything but an ace so far this season. You're really hoping he can pitch like a two. Now he's got problems with the umpires, or he's throwing balls out every 2 seconds, and other teams are on to his game, and he doesn't seem like he can really adjusts that pitch clock, and one day he looks great and he's controlling everything and he gets through and he gives you eight innings and allows one run, and the next day he can barely get you through six without your, you know, wanting to, you know, jump off a bridge watching him. But when it comes to Aaron Nola, you do know one thing. You do know that he's going to give you just about six innings just about every time he takes the ball. He did that the last time in Arizona, and there's always one inning where it feels like things fall apart for Nola. I'm not the first one to say this. I will not be the last one to say this. Vintage Aaron Nola is when things are going great. He gets put through the lineup once. He might even do it twice, and then the wheels just absolutely fall off. And that's what happened in Arizona. Things were going great, and then he immediately allows four runs, and you're like, this guy doesn't have it, and leave it to Aaron Nola to end the momentum. But when all was said and done, he allows four runs over six innings. Now, that's not good. It's not even a quality start, certainly by his own standards. But that's what Aaron Nola does. He gives you length. He knows he's going to keep you at least in the game. He will do it in a frustrating way and seem like he's giving the game back half the time, and that, again, he's going to allow three, four runs, whatever the case might be. Not always a quality start, but he's going to give you six innings. He's going to give you seven innings sometimes. He's only not gotten through six innings. I think it's two starts or maybe three starts all season. Like, for the most part, he does get you to that six-inning mark. This is just the MO on what Aaron Nola is. And until he proves differently, that's what he is. The Phillies are about a 500 team, one game below 500, specifically when he goes. They did win the most recent start that he pitched in when he got the win in Arizona in getaway day. But the offense came to play, and that was really the biggest difference. He allowed four runs. The offense showed up that day, so they get the win. So they're a game below 500 with Aaron Nola. Let's move to Ranger Suarez, where they are 5-2. He came back off the injured list and looked horrible through the first couple of starts, but really settled into his own. And all in all, like, probably is the best second is probably the second best pitcher on this team right now. I mean, he's been great. He's been really returned to form from last season. A guy you can rely on every fifth day. Also, just really, really casual on the mound. Like, he's now got this Cliff Lee thing going on, where every time the ball comes back to him, besides being a really, really good fielder, he knows how to just, you know, wander over to first base and fire it and pretend like he doesn't even care about throwing it. He stares at the ball. He's got an unbelievable amount of confidence when he's out there on the mound. Doesn't really seem like much phases Ranger Suarez. That is certainly great to see. So again, the Phillies 5-2 behind him. I think certainly everyone feels reliable when Ranger Suarez on the mound. A guy who I've not always felt has been reliable so far this season, but has come into his own as of late, Zach Wheeler. Phillies are 9-6 when Zach Wheeler takes the mound so far this season. He has returned to form as an ace as of late. Another guy who, similar to Nola, has been a vocal advocate against the pitch clock. He does not like these new rules. He's a bit of a weirdo when he goes out there on the mound. He seems to find excuses when things are not going well for him. But when things are going well, and that's kind of what it's been lately, is the Phillies winning behind their ace in Zach Wheeler as of late. He's one of the most fun pitchers to watch in all of baseball, and one of the most fun Phillies to watch in recent memory. Zach Wheeler is absolutely the guy that in a winner-take-all game, you feel like you have the most confidence in. And he's coming off a season last year where he, you know, threw that career high in innings. Him and Nola both, but, you know, workhorses last year, giving you well over 200 innings and into the postseason. And maybe it just took him a little bit of extra time to get acclimated to the 2023 season, and hopefully Nola turns that corner sometime soon here. But the Phillies have a 9-6 record when Zach Wheeler takes the hill. You would expect that win-loss ratio to get a little bit more separate by the end of the season. But as of this point, certainly what you like to see out of Zach Wheeler. And then you turn to Taijuan Walker, who for the first month and a half of the season looked like a total disaster. I mean, and certainly in the state of California, you think about that start at Dodger Stadium and start at Oracle Park in San Francisco. In L.A., on May 2nd, he goes 3 1/3, allows eight runs. And then even worse, on May 17th, in San Francisco, doesn't even get through the entire inning. And the entire first inning, goes 2/3 of an inning, allows four runs. And there's been injury concerns with this guy, and there were concerns as to whether he'd even, you know, make it to the end of this contract. 4-year, $72 million for a quote-unquote innings leader. But this guy has totally settled into his own. And his ERA, if you exclude, he really got thrown off by those two California starts. And then the irony of it is, on this past weekend, on just a couple of days ago, he had one of the best starts of his entire career. I know it was against the Oakland A's, but in the state of California. He goes 8 innings for the first time in years. I think it was 6 years, since 2017. That Taijuan Walker completed 8 innings in a ballgame. He goes 8 innings, 7 hits, allows just 1 run, 8 strikeouts. And his ERA is now down to 4.31 compared to the 6.53 it was back on May the 17th. So just 1 month later, after removed from his last start in the Bay Area, May 17th in San Francisco, his worst start of the year, 2/3 of an inning, 4 runs. He comes back in just across the bay in Oakland, goes 8 innings, allows just 1 run, and his ERA is a full 2+ runs lower. This guy has really come into his own, and unsurprisingly, Phillies are 10-5 and started by Taijuan Walker. No, I'm not handing him the ball in a winner-take-all game. I'm not saying it's like do or die with Taijuan Walker or anything like that. But this guy has really turned into a reliable option for the Phils. And especially since the beginning of May, or really since mid-May, he has totally turned a corner. You only have to look at his game logs. I mean, no, he's not going eight innings every night, I should say. But June 11th versus the Dodgers, 5 innings, no runs allowed. June 6th versus the Tigers, 7 innings, no runs allowed. Against the Mets, he didn't fare especially well, only got through 4 innings, allowed 3 runs. May 26th in Atlanta, 6 2/3, allowed 3 runs. May 21st versus the Cubs, 5 1/3, no runs. He's really been quite reliable, and at the very least, with this offense, keeps you in the game. And that's really what you expect out of a guy from Taijuan Walker. Did they overpay for a quote-unquote innings eater? Yeah, probably. I mean, I would say that they did, but at the end of the day, if he's keeping you in ball games and if he's giving you a chance and you're winning 2/3 of the games that Taijuan Walker starts, it's hard to complain about him right now. And the fact that they have the best winning percentage of any starter behind Taijuan Walker, I know wins and especially team wins behind a starter doesn't tell the whole story, but it does tell you that he's keeping them in games enough and that he is more than a viable option at this current point in time. So that's where kind of the records stand in terms of the starters at this point for the Phils. And that takes me to, you know, takeaway number two from where the Phillies are at right now and from this past road trip is, so Christopher Sanchez makes the start in the fifth spot on Saturday. And this was the first time that they had really gone this route. You know, they were going bullpen games. They were going Dylan Covey. They were pretty much going any option that was not Christopher Sanchez. He had made one previous start this season. He went 4 1/3 against the Rockies when he allowed 3 runs. And on April 22nd, the Phillies call him back up. They scratched him from his AAA start. He gets through 4 innings, took a line drive off his hand actually to bounce out of the game earlier than he would have. But I know it was the Oakland A's, and I know it's hard to, you know, take away anything from how he looked against them. But I just have a really hard time believing that Christopher Sanchez is worse than the other options you have right now. It was very apparent to anyone watching that Dylan Covey was not a viable starter or bulk option just a couple starts into his Phillies career. Like, there's a reason why that guy was not in the major leagues for the majority of the last couple of seasons. And this bullpen start is not going to work. And Bailey Falter was not pitching at a major league level. And so, again, you'd be very not surprised to find out that the Phillies are 4-10 in games that are started by Bailey Falter, an opener, Dylan Covey, and now Christopher Sanchez. And that was 3-10. The Phillies won behind Christopher Sanchez. He didn't get the win because he didn't go 4 innings in this one. But that the Phillies won the game 3-2, and he certainly kept them in it for those 4 innings. And I do believe that I'm not saying rely on Christopher Sanchez as every fifth day as a long-term option, but as of right now, I do believe he's your best option. And it's probably been your best option for a little bit now. I get they want to start him in AAA. They think he's a AAA pitcher, but until Dave Dombrowski trades for a fifth starter, and I do believe that is the number one priority on this team right now, and we'll get to some trade rumors that have been circling in just a second here, but the fifth starter spot has to be the number one priority on this team right now. I understand that you're going to tighten your rotation up in the postseason, and that you know you can look at
every time there's an off day, sometimes you can skip that fifth rotation spot. And after the trade deadline, how many times will that spot even come up? Well, it'll be, you know, once a week, sometimes twice a week. So maybe between the deadline and the end of the season, you're looking at like 8 to 10 times that spot's even going to come up. But in a wild card race that's going to be as tight as it is, and I do believe this is going to be a tight wild card race. Just look at the National League standings right now. It is a cluster, and it might come down to tiebreakers, as I earlier stated. Like, literally, that is the type of season we're looking at right now. And if the Phillies are not going to be in contention for the division, and that's a little bit, you know, they're 8 games back, and they have to jump the Marlins and get to the Braves, and you know, even if they swept the Braves this coming week, they'd still be 5 games back. And yes, it's relatively speaking early. I mean, we're in June. We haven't hit July 4th yet. We haven't hit the All-Star break yet. I'm not saying it's out of it, but in all likelihood, the Phillies are going to be among the teams competing for a wild card spot at the end of the season. And there's only 3 of them to go around. There used to be 1. Now there used to be 2. And still now there's only 3. And when you got 5, 6, 7 teams competing for it, and yeah, maybe a team or two drops out, but a number of teams who are going to be aggressive at the deadline, a number of teams who standings-wise are going to be right there in it at the end, you can't afford to just like punt those games. And you can't afford to just rely on Christopher Sanchez to carry that weight from now until the end of the season. The Phillies have had that fifth spot really weigh them down so far this season, far longer than it should have. And in a season that might be decided by a game or two, that fifth starter spot, again, I'm not suggesting that other teams look forward to their fifth spot in the rotation either, but it's actually like fundamentally worse by a lot. That fifth spot so far this season has been for the Phillies than other teams. And if you lose a wild card spot by a game or two, the number one reason is going to be because that fifth spot weighed them down and they don't have enough rotational depth. Oh, and also, by the way, what if one of the guys who I mentioned earlier does go down? What if Taiwan Walker has to spend time on the injured list? What if Zach Wheeler has to miss some time? What if, you know, Ranger Suarez has to go back on the injured list and miss time? What if Aaron Nola, always takes the ball every fifth day and is always available for you, finally his arm breaks down in the middle of July, the middle of August? You're going to need another, at least one more guy in the rotation who you can rely on to just keep you in games. Find me this season's Joe Blanton at the deadline, Dave Dombrowski. Find me this season's Joe Blanton. Get me a guy who can give you 5 innings, allow 2 to 3 runs, 6 innings, 3 runs, whatever the case might be. Just give me a quality start or something close to it so this offense can handle the workload and maybe get that 4-10 somewhere in the close in the neighborhood at the end of the season. It's come up 15 times so far this season. Maybe you're looking something that's only a couple games below 500 instead of clawing to make it a third of the games that you're winning. So that's kind of where things stand in terms of the rotation as a whole. And takeaway number 2 is that fifth starter spot, A, needs to be addressed, but B, Christopher Sanchez has to be the best option there right now. And takeaway number 3 from where the Phillies are at. And the third and final takeaway for why the Phillies just are where they are right now, it's got to be Kyle Schwarber. I mean, Kyle Schwarber, this guy, he goes in the leadoff spot, and the Phillies immediately go as he goes. Another 2 leadoff home runs over the weekend, one on Father's Day, one on Friday night, first pitch of the series. I mean, this guy wastes no time setting a tone, and I know he's not necessarily, or he wasn't necessarily, the fan favorite to be the leadoff hitter. I know that he doesn't scream stereotypical leadoff hitter, and he's not the guy when you have Trey Turner literally on the roster hitting behind him that you would assume is going to be your leadoff guy. And it's frustrating when he does hit home runs because it seems like, oh, you wish you could get guys on base for him. But that's what he does. He gets on base, he walks, and he hits home runs. He hits for a lot of power. He sees a lot more pitches in the leadoff spot. And it's a role he does well. And how can you argue with the results at this point? The second he goes back into that leadoff spot, the Phillies' offense starts clicking, the Phillies' pitching also clicking, and now they've won 13 of their last 16, whatever it is, and they're now 4 games above 500 when they used to be, you know, close to 10 games below it. Kyle Schwarber right now is proving once and for all that he is,
you know, in a lot of ways, the leader of this team. You know, and you think about you back to the 07 to 11 days. Sure, like there were multiple leaders on that team, and I believe there are multiple leaders on this team. I believe Rhys Hoskins was a leader who they lost out on this season. I believe Bryce Harper is a leader because he is like the star and the face of the team, if you will. And similar to, you know, back in 07 to 11, you had, you know, Ryan Howard, who was, you know, one of the stars of the team, and Chase Utley, who was a bit of a quiet leader. But that those teams went as Jimmy Rollins went. Like, Jimmy Rollins set the tone at the top of the order. And, yeah, he was a shortstop, and he'd swipe a lot of bags, and he was great in the field and a little bit more of a stereotypical leadoff type of guy. But, you know, setting a tone, having that it factor when you're the first guy in the batting order, that's something that's hard to put a price on. And sometimes it's as simple as, you know, your approach at the plate, what causes, you know, if you're seeing a lot of pitches, the guy behind you sees a lot of pitches and it changes strategy, you know, one batter to the next, to the next, to the next. And Kyle Schwarber does that well for this team. Whether you think he should or not, like, this team all hits better behind him when he sets the tone at the top of the order. Even if that's hitting a solo home run, like, that always seems to set a tone for the Phillies when he does that. And it's, you know, it's helped as much maybe as anything spark a winning streak and winning ways here over the last couple of weeks. Again, you know, Phillies now 13-3 since they brought the Dancing on My Own song back. It's winning ways since the month of June, and the calendar flips to June, and we know what that means for Kyle Schwarber. A little stat courtesy of Joe Giglio at 94 WIP. Best at-bat per home run ratio in baseball history, not even just the month of June. If it was the month of June, Kyle Schwarber would have a better home run per at-bat ratio than anyone. But if you did in all months, all seasons, Mark McGwire 1, Babe Ruth 2, Aaron Judge 3, Barry Bonds 4, Jim Thome 5, Kyle Schwarber at number 6. This guy mashes the ball out of the ballpark, and he does it starting the month of June after sitting quiet for 2 months. Right now, it's just really, really hard to argue that he isn't the best tone setter at the top of that lineup, whether you agree with it from like an analytical or statistical perspective or not. So that's what I got for you right now. You know, three reasons, three takeaways from where this Phillies team is right now. It's the starting rotation, your top four guys. It's that fifth starter spot, and it's clearly the biggest need on this team. I didn't even get into it. I teased it, and then I didn't pay off the tease. The thought of, you know, bringing Paul Goldschmidt here has kind of circled around, you know, recently. And to that, I would say, look, I'm perfectly fine going and adding another MVP to this lineup. I mean, the offense would be insanely stacked. If you can pull it off, Dave Dombrowski should absolutely go do it. But I still believe that the number one priority at the deadline needs to be addressing that fifth starter spot. Because if you go address the offense and you're just hitting your way through games and you miss out in the playoffs, or, you know, miss out on a playoff seed or whatever the case might be, because you're starting Christopher Sanchez every fifth day and one of your starters gets hurt, and now you're doing Christopher Sanchez and a bullpen game. Unless Paul Goldschmidt knows how to pitch, that's not going to work out for you either. So I would love it if they could do both. I would love Paul Goldschmidt. I'm not saying I'm a former MVP, and former MVP, last year's MVP in the National League. Like, he is all that. He is very, very good and would be a great addition to this lineup. But I need to see someone in that fifth spot, just frankly, every day, and someone who can slide into a fourth spot if one of these starters goes down, because I am not willing to bank on these pitchers' health through 162 games of the season, just because history tells us one of these guys will hit the injured list at some point, and it's not going to be good when that day arrives, and the Phillies are going to be in desperation mode for a starter, even more so than they already are, and they won't be the only team in that position. So that's going to do it for today's episode of the Phillies Today podcast. Again, I will be back with you tomorrow. Phillies and Braves coming up later today. I'll talk to you and be recapping that one again right here, Phillies Today podcast. I've been your host, Dan Wilson.